Could zebrafish unlock secrets to reversing blindness and treating diseases that damage the retina in humans? We're learning about tissue regeneration on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. Researchers at institutions around the country are focusing on the genetic pathways that allow many fish to repair their eye neurons after injury. And this regeneration ability has implications for human eye diseases. What questions do you have about optic nerve damage and the possibility of reversing it? 800-642-1234. Ava Udvadia is an associate professor and associate chair in the Biological Sciences Department at UW-Milwaukee, where she studies the genetics that allow fish to heal optic nerve damage. Ava, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm happy to be here.
We'll start by explaining the optic nerve to us, how it functions, why it's special. Give us a little sense about what this nerve is.
Sure. So, you know, we grow up learning that we see with our eyes. And really, the eyes are just the detectors of light. We see with our brains. And so for that to happen, the information that's collected by the eyes needs to be first converted into a language that the brain can understand, and then it needs to be sent up to the brain. And that happens through this conduit called the optic nerve. So basically, the optic nerve is made up of these long, thin fibers that emanate from the neurons in the eye, and they transmit that light information up to the brain where it can be put together and perceived as our visual world.
What would happen if they're damaged?
So what happens when they're damaged, when we think about neuronal damage, we can really think about it in two ways. So there's the type of damage where the cells, the actual cells in the retina, die and they go away. And of course, if you don't have those cells in the eye to detect the light and process the light information, then there's nothing going up to the brain. Another type of damage is damage to the nerve. So in that case, the cell bodies themselves may still be alive, but the wires that connect them to the brain are damaged. And so the end result is still the same. That is a lack of communication between the eye and the brain. But how you repair this damage is slightly different. And so what we're focusing on is that second type where the connection is broken. And what happens in zebrafish is that those cells that grow that connection, they are able to switch the cells back into an earlier state, into a developmental state in which they can regrow that connection. Hmm. What happens in us is when that is damaged, we don't do that reprogramming. Our neurons don't do that reprogramming, and we're trying to understand why.
So these cells in the fish retinas, are these the Müller glia cells that can transform, and respond to an injury and then basically act like stem cells?
So that's a slightly different process.
Okay,
so
that's the case. Okay.
Yeah. So the Müller glia can respond to many types of damage to act like stem cells and produce new cells that will replace cells that have died. Mm-hmm. But in the case of optic nerve regeneration in zebrafish, the optic nerve damage doesn't really cause death of the cells. Those cells, these are called the retinal ganglion cells.
Okay.
So if you think of the retina as being this thin film that sits at the back of the eye, you have your photoreceptors at the very back. They're the ones that are doing the light detection. And then they transmit that information, kind of like a telephone game, between a series of other neurons in between. And that the very last neurons that information gets transmitted to are the retinal ganglion cells. And those are the cells that are growing out those long, thin wire-like processes. And so in the zebrafish, what happens when you damage the optic nerve is that they revert to a state where they can grow again. So what actually happens is that early in development, they have this, they're running this program to grow that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, this is a program that's really highly conserved across all vertebrate species. So fish, frogs, salamanders, mice, us, the way that that nerve gets built is very similar. And the program for running that build gets turned off when the visual system matures. And that happens again in all the vertebrate animals, but the difference is what happens after injury in the adult animal. In us, it doesn't reprogram to that growth state.
I'm going to reintroduce you here as we talk about the regeneration of the optic nerve with Ava Udvadia, an associate professor in biological sciences at UW-Milwaukee, studies the genetics that allow fish to heal optic nerve damage. Taking your questions about it, 800-642-1234. So why is zebrafish such a good lab specimen for trying to understand this optic nerve damage?
So zebrafish is kind of the lab rat of the aquatic world. Mm-hmm. It is small and easy to keep. It's a pretty hardy tropical fish. It was initially used because of the properties of its embryos.
So mm-hmm. You can see eggs are, through it.
Exactly. You can see through it. And with the fluorescent proteins that we get from other aquatic animals like jellyfish, we can actually engineer them to highlight particular cell types that we want to look at as they develop. And so they're very beautiful system for that. And their genetics have been worked out. So their genome has been sequenced. And there are many genetic tools that we can use to investigate developmental processes. And the reason that we use them is that because they have this remarkable property of being able to regenerate their neurons and their nerves.
And I understand they also have the power to repair their heart, their brain, pancreas, spine, kidneys. Is that true?
Exactly. So they have a wide repertoire of regenerating organs, and there are many labs trying to study and understand how those processes are working in the zebrafish.
That's what I noticed, that there are researchers at universities all over the country studying this fish and this property, which is a really good sign, a lot of interest. How do you collaborate? How do you stay organized in this research area?
Yeah. So we're always reading papers, reading the most recent findings. We go to conferences and meet people. In fact, one of the fun stories for me was I was at one of our conferences, the Society for Neuroscience, a few years ago, and I had in my class been teaching a paper that was done by a colleague at Virginia who studied nerve regeneration in frogs. And I was really interested in meeting her, and I happened to run into her at the meeting, and we started talking. Because one of the things that we don't know is that, so there are a number of animals that will regenerate their optic nerve. So frogs and salamanders. And so what we don't know is, do they use the same program to do that nerve regeneration? And so we started talking, we thought, you know, we should really collaborate on this. And so we both applied for a fellowship where we could be at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, to get together and study this in tandem, she and the frog and me and the fish, to do a comparison.
Yes.
And then also collaborating with another scientist, Karen Echeverry, who is a year-round scientist at that laboratory in Woods Hole. Just finding people with similar interests who bring different perspectives and different expertise. It's really what moves science forward.
Talking with UW-Milwaukee biologist Ava Udvadia, studies aquatic life capable of regenerating their optic nerve. Do you have glaucoma or perhaps retinal damage that has led to permanent vision loss? Have you sought information on new drug therapies that promote optic nerve regeneration in the hopes of restoring sight. What did you find out? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ava Udvadia here on the Ideas Network. The optic nerve transmits visual information from the retina to the brain, made up of more than a million nerve fibers, and damage to the optic nerve can lead to vision loss. We're discussing optic nerve regeneration in fish and the implications for humans on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Scientists have found that zebrafish can regrow their eye matter in just weeks, and they want to someday be able to replicate that ability in people who have injured retinas or who are going blind. What makes you curious about this research? Do you think scientists can reprogram human genes to reverse damage and protect sight? 800-642-1234. We have UW-Milwaukee biologist Ava Udvadia, who's with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's take a call on this now. Mara Lee is joining us from Rice Lake. Hi, Mara Lee. What would you like to ask?
Hi. My son was born with an atrophic optic nerve because of a nasal glioma that put pressure on the nerve. So it didn't develop. Is this research anything that could help him? Or is the research on damaged optic nerves that are somewhat still viable?
Great question.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that happens when there is pressure on the eye in us, what happens is that there is a number of changes that go on the cell, and they start with a dysfunction in the ability of the neurons to be able to transmit information, not just the electrical information, but proteins that have to travel up and down. And that initial disruption in that protein transport ends up causing damage and becomes toxic to the cell and leads eventually to cell death. I think for those types of problems, the first thing is getting new cells in the eye. And so there are a number of labs across the country, including Dr. David Gamm's lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, working on retinal organoids, trying to grow these tissues in culture to make cells that could be transplanted to help repair that type of damage. Of course, once you get the cells transplanted, there's the whole question of how do you get them to regrow the connections? And that's where my research comes in, is if you have cells that are viable, now the next step, that the viable cells by themselves are not necessarily able to restore vision. What has to happen is you have to connect them back up to the cells in the brain that perceive the image.
That's interesting that you had mentioned the UW-Madison researchers who were able to use stem cells to replicate the function of the retina to detect light, and really looking at the therapeutic options for treating vision loss. Are there therapeutics that you might be able to look at or figure out with the optic nerve damage and regrowth?
Yeah, that's exactly one of our goals, is to the first step is trying to learn how the zebrafish, what is the program that allows them to successfully regenerate. And our hypothesis is that program is highly evolutionarily conserved, and that the difference between mammals and what happens in mammals and what happens in fish in response to that nerve injury is that there are a few instructions that are misplaced as the genome rearranged over evolution. Hmm. And we're trying to understand where those differences fall, and can we then take that small number and replace, make some sort of gene therapy or some sort of pharmaceutical that would stimulate the production of what's missing. So first we need to find out what makes it go. Then we need to find out what's different between fish and mammals. And then we need to see, can we replace it?
Okay. And I want to bring in one lab specimen, the small salamander known as the axolotl, which, you know, it's got this cartoonish face resembling a smiling emoji. It's become this cultural icon. We have, you know, I mean, it is sacred at our home,
yeah.
And all the stuffed animals and T-shirts. So how do axolotl factor into your research?
Yeah, so Karen Itchberry, who's at the Marine Biological Labs in Woods Hole, she runs a whole program on regeneration in the axolotl. And when I had been there to participate in a course, I got to meet her. And that's another place where a collaboration started, was she studies actually regeneration of the spinal cord in the axolotl and was interested in developing it as a model for optic nerve regeneration. And so I've been going there for the past couple of summers, trying to develop this, again, to do a comparison between different species that can regenerate their optic nerves to see if they're using the same program. Yeah.
Some species can regrow injured limbs, or they can grow entirely new tails if a tail falls off or is bitten off by a predator. Does that have any application here to what you're trying to understand in the optic nerve?
Yeah, so the axolotl is one such animal. It really is considered the superhero of regeneration.
Oh, we knew it.
and so what in the case of, you know, replacing limbs, it becomes even a much more complex problem, because it's all different tissues. It's skin, it's muscle, it's nerve tissue. So a lot of different things have to be made. And what happens is that the animal first creates that, from that wound site, makes a thing called a blastema, which ends up taking on cells with these stem-like properties that can then go on to give rise to these different types of tissues. So it's a different kind of problem. But all of these problems, I guess the umbrella that sits over them is, how do cells that were one type of thing revert to a different state in order to regenerate?
So when our body, you know, has cells growing out of control, we think of cancer cells. And I would imagine that the human body is very careful about not having cells replicating out of control. How would you see trying to figure out what genes to turn on in order to repair the optic nerve, when there is also this risk of the human body saying, no, 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 this could be cancer?
Yes, exactly. And so that's where you have to be very careful, is that a lot of those stops and barriers to growth have been put into place for a very good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are interested in is not so much the individual. Like, we found there were 7,000 genes whose expression changes over the course of regeneration. And we're not necessarily interested in investigating each one of those 7,000. What we're more interested in are the genes that make proteins that regulate that program. And we think those will be much fewer. And that's what we're interested in finding out. And what we would be most interested in is in a way of supplying those products in a window of time, rather than making them permanently changing a cell to express them. We need to control how they come on, how they express over time, and how they end the program. So that's another area that my lab is interested in looking at, is those types of temporal controls.
UW-Milwaukee biologist Ava Udvadia studies genetics that allow fish to heal optic nerve damage. Taking your questions, 800-642-1234. Roman is with us from Genoa City. Roman, hi. What is your question?
Yeah, I'd like to know. I have a serpiginous, and I'm, like, legally blind. I haven't driven or read a book in, like, you know, way over a dozen years. And I've stopped going to doctors because, you know, nobody wants to get shots in their eyes. And I had got no efficacy from it. So I stopped going. And I seen a guy in Janesville. And I've been to the University of Illinois, Dr. Goldstein, and Dr. Altwheel here in Janesville. And he told me that there's nothing for you.
And Roman, we're out of time. But Ava, what is there hope for people who do have this type of vision loss that Roman is experiencing?
So, I mean, there's the research is going on, and like I said, the loss of cells, the stem cell ideas. There's also ideas of actually implanting electrodes that would carry the information in lieu of the cells that have been damaged. So there is all kinds of research that is going on. It's an exciting time in the field of science, and I know that doesn't provide any relief to Roman at the moment, but I'm really sorry to hear about that. Not being able to read a book for a dozen years is really sad.
Well,
but I think that there is advances coming down the line.
Ava, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Ava, it's been my pleasure.
Ava Udvadia, Associate Professor at Biological Sciences, UW-Milwaukee. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.